afternoon.
A lot to cover, so we'll just go ahead and get right to it. If you'll find your spot in the book of Daniel, chapter number 7. The book of Daniel, chapter number 7 is where we'll be tonight. And finish up this chapter and say a few things. If you'll do me a favor, we won't be there for a few minutes, but once you found your place in Daniel chapter 7, if you'll flip all the way over to the very end of your Bible and find a place in the book of the Revelation in the 13th chapter, and just put a bookmark there, put a finger there, and we'll eventually come to Revelation chapter 13, actually look at that, maybe look a little bit out of chapter number 17 as well. But we'll mainly be in Daniel chapter number 7, and so let's start there. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the Word of God. Help us to rightly divide it tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, and amen. 2 weeks ago, when we began out of chapter number 7, we considered the first section of this chapter, and you'll remember that the chapter begins by Daniel having a vision. And in this vision, the Bible says that he is standing beside the great sea, or that Mediterranean Sea. As he watches the sea, Daniel says that four winds, wind from the north and the south and the east and the west, begin to blow upon the sea and trouble it. And as the sea is troubled, four wild beasts, diverse from one another, come forth. You'll remember the four beasts were, number one, a lion with the wings of an eagle. Number two was a bear that was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth. Number three was a leper that had four heads and four wings of a fowl. And then finally, a fourth wild and terrible beast, unlike one Daniel had ever seen before. In fact, Daniel said that it had teeth of iron and had 10 horns, and it troubled him when he saw it. In fact, he was so greatly troubled that he begins to ask for and seek wisdom about the place where we left off. But about the time Daniel could ask for wisdom, the Bible says that he immediately is given two other visions. He's given a vision of judgment, and then he's given a vision of the Son of Man receiving his kingdom. And in these three visions, we see a picture of the Gentile history down through the end of the age. We see the kingdoms of the world, the kingdoms of the Gentiles, until those have been fulfilled, and they judgment comes at the end of the age, and finally the Son of Man receives His kingdom and sets up His kingdom upon the earth. Now tonight I want us to go back to where we left off and finish this chapter and consider a few things. Look at verse number 15, if you will. Daniel chapter 7, verse 15. Daniel has now had these three visions, and he says in verse 15, "And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things." Now, when we left off the last time, we know that Daniel was troubled by what he saw. While standing there troubled, Daniel notices that there are others standing by. And so Daniel approaches one of the bystanders and asks him for wisdom and understanding. I think that it is clear, but in case it is not, allow me to point this out. The man, or the one standing by in verse 15 and 16, is not another man, not another human being, let me say it that way. I believe this for two reasons. First of all, we know that Daniel is still in a vision, in a trance-like state, and therefore it would not make sense for there to be another human, another man in that vision with Daniel. That just simply would not make sense. But secondly, I believe that this was not a normal man, because no human could reveal to Daniel what this one is about to reveal to Daniel. I personally believe that this was an angel messenger sent from God for the intent purpose of revealing and interpreting this vision to Daniel. God had something to tell Daniel about the latter days and about his people, the Jews, and this messenger was sent to do just that. There are three things I want you to maybe write down, scribble down, but certainly pay attention to tonight. Number one, I want us to see simply the interpretation. I want us to see the interpretation. Verse 18 says, these great beasts which are four are four kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. When Daniel asked the bystander what he has seen, what the interpretation is, the bystander begins to give him understanding. He begins by saying this in verse 17, the four beasts are four kings or four kingdoms that will arise out of the earth. Therefore, we know that these four beasts must be the same four metals represented in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2. We know that. We've seen that. Then he goes on to tell Daniel that the power of these kings at some point will be taken away and given to the saints of the Most High. Now, that brings up a question. Who are the saints of the Most High? Now, I know what you're thinking. If I was to ask you that question, who are the saints of the Most High? You would probably say, well, Brother Josh, that's the believers. That's the church. But it can't be the believer. It can't be the church. It can't be the church for two reasons. Number one, the church was not revealed to the Old Testament saints. The church was concealed. The church was a mystery hidden until the time of Christ. The Old Testament doesn't talk about the church. You don't find the church till you get to the New Testament. Secondly, the church will not be on the earth at the time in which the final kingdom will fall and the kingdom will be given to these saints. You see, we'll discover momentarily that just before the kingdom is given to the saints of the Most High, the little horn or the Antichrist will make war with these saints. He will fight them. He will battle them. And they will eventually overcome him and be given the kingdom. This undoubtedly cannot be the church, because the church will not be on the earth during those 7 years of tribulation. We will be raptured prior to that and be in heaven at this time. And so these saints cannot, therefore, be the church. You say, well, who are they? Well, I think if it's not the church, it's pretty simple. They're the Jews. They're Daniel's people. They're God's people, God's chosen people. And God is telling Daniel something about his people. From him, and they will be given the kingdom. And for the first time in a long time, they will have a king sit on the throne of David. This king will be Jesus Christ, and he'll rule and reign. They will be given that kingdom back. This explanation doesn't satisfy Daniel, however. Daniel's already been told that there would be four kingdoms. He's known that for 62 years. There must be something more. Plus, the messenger doesn't address the one thing that bothered Daniel the most. So Daniel continues in verse 19. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, for whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth, and spake great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld in the same horn made and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now the thing that bothered Daniel the most, verse 19 and following, is the fourth beast, and specifically the little horn on this fourth beast. The reason that this fourth beast and this horn specifically bothered Daniel so much is because the things the horn said and the things the horn did. In fact, in these verses, Daniel reveals things to us that he does not tell us at the beginning of the chapter. For example, the little horn makes war with the saints. That he speaks great things against them. We don't know that from before. In fact, Daniel goes on in verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. Now notice what Daniel tells us at the end of this chapter. Daniel says, number one, the horn makes war with the saints of the Most High and prevails against them. Number two, Daniel says the horn not only spoke against the Most High, but he changes the times and the laws. Finally, Daniel tells us that in the end, the saints will fight this little horn and will defeat him. Now, this is where I want to get to tonight. This is where we'll spend the most of our time. To understand this interpretation, you have to understand this. You have to understand that there are two figures seen in the end of the book of Daniel. Both of these figures demand our attention. They are as follows. Number one, the beast, and number two, the little horn. These two are connected, but yet they are separate. You have to also understand the phrase times and laws. The phrase times and laws would be a common phrase. The Jew would know exactly what you're talking about if you said times and laws, but we may not fully understand that. The times and laws were Sabbaths, the festivals, the new moons, the holy days, and the laws of Moses. Those were the times and the laws. Therefore, it seems that there will be a point in time in which the times and laws are reinstituted, and there will be a future time in which these times and laws will be changed. But in order for them to be changed, they first have to be reestablished. That means this. There must come a time in which the Jews collectively return to their homeland and they begin to restore and pick back up the Old Testament economy of serving and worshiping God. Those festivals, those feasts, those sacrifices, those laws, they will return back to that. The only way that could be changed is if it was reestablished, because it's not established today. So it has to be reestablished, and then the little horn will change it. He will break these times and laws. In fact, we are told exactly when he will break these times and laws. Daniel says he will do it in a time and times and the dividing of times. Okay, I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but let me say this. The phrase time and times and the dividing of times. Do you remember back in, what was it, chapter 4, when Nebuchadnezzar become insane? Do you remember that? He had his insanity. And you remember when Daniel was given the interpretation, or he saw that dream of Nebuchadnezzar, that great tree falling, being cut down. In that dream and in that interpretation, this happened. The Bible said that the watchers came down and declared to cut down the tree until 7 times passed over it. And I told you when we studied that chapter, remember that phrase, 7 times, until 7 times passed over. Now we know that Nebuchadnezzar was insane for 7 years. Therefore, the phrase 7 times means 7 years, okay? So the Bible says that the Antichrist, or the little horn, once these laws and these times, these feasts and festivals have been reinstituted, the Jew is back in their homeland, he will change them for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 years, and the dividing of times, or a half a year. He'll change it for 3.5 years. Oh, I said I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll discover eventually that Antichrist will set up a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. They will be brought back home. Their feast and their laws will be reinstituted. They will sacrifice a red heifer again. All that will happen. But in 3.5 years' time, Antichrist will break that covenant, will change the times and laws, and set himself up in the temple and demand that everyone worship him as God. So Daniel says the little horn will change the times and laws at a time, 1 year, and times 2 years in the dividing of time, or 3.5 years in. As we move forward, these things will begin to come together. They'll begin to make more sense. In fact, when we get to chapter 8, we'll learn much more of Antichrist. We'll learn more of him in chapter number 9. So Daniel tells us that in the middle of the week, or in the middle of the tribulation, 3.5 years in, Antichrist breaks his covenant. This is what the messenger means to Daniel when he says that the little horn will change the times and the laws. So we see the times and the laws, but let's back up to those other two things I said we need to understand. First of all, we need to understand the beast. And if you're taking notes, maybe you want to write that down so you'll understand the beast. The first figure that we have to identify is this wild, fourth, diverse beast. It was the beast that Daniel first saw come out of the water. It was from the beast that the little horn comes forth. Therefore, we have to identify him first. The key to identifying this beast is seen in his description. Daniel describes the beast as having teeth of iron and 10 horns. Therefore, by this description, teeth of iron and 10 horns, we know that this beast is describing the Roman Empire in its earlier and its latter stages. The teeth of iron correspond to the legs of iron in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter number 2. And the 10 horns are pictured by the 10 toes of chapter number 2. Therefore, this wild beast represents Rome in its beginning stages and in its latter day stages. In both Nebuchadnezzar's dream and in Daniel's vision, we are given a picture of Rome in both phases. In fact, Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 2, verse 40 and following, he said, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all things shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, the 10 toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be of it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And the toes and the feet were part iron, part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, in the beginning stages, Daniel says, this kingdom will be strong as iron. It'll break in pieces. It'll subdue all things. It'll be just as strong as it can be. But then when he describes it at a later time, he says it'll be mixed. It'll be partly strong, but it'll be partly weak. That must be talking about two phases in history. How could it be so strong that it breaks in pieces and it devours, but at the same time it be partly strong and partly weak? Therefore, it must be two different times, two different pictures, two different periods. Rome is seen in the legs of iron and the teeth of iron of the fourth wild beast as being strong and unbreakable. But it's also seen in the toes as being divided, partly strong, partly broken. Therefore, the legs of iron, the teeth of iron, picture Rome at its beginning in history past. And the part iron, part clay, or the 10 horns, represent Rome, obviously, in the future, where it'll be mingled and mixed and partly strong, partly broken. Now, history gives us the dates of the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. God in His Word gives us the times of the second phase of the Roman Empire. I want you to look at the book of Revelation with me. It's chapter 13. And let me read the first 8 verses. Let's read those together. And you'll begin to see a picture that seems very familiar when we begin to read from Revelation 13. John says in Revelation 13, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. There's those horns again. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, And his mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death with a deadly wound and was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Or, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, and blasphemed his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, when we read the description in Revelation 17 and in Daniel 7, there is no doubt that these two beasts are the same. Notice all the things that are said that are identical. First of all, they both come from the sea. Daniel said in chapter number 7, he stood upon the shore of the great sea and watched that wind trouble the sea as those beasts come forth. John said in Revelation 13, 1, And I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of it. They both come from the sea. In fact, they both come from the great sea. John, at this time, was on the Isle of Patmos. Do you know where Patmos was? It was on the Mediterranean, the great sea. Therefore, both of these beasts are seen coming from the same place. We also know that both men tell us that this future Rome or this beast will have characteristics of the first Rome. It'll be strong as iron, we are told. But what John tells us is that the latter phase of the beast will not only encompass the characteristics of Rome, but will have all the characteristics of the kingdoms prior to it. John said this. He said, I watched this beast, and he said, its body was like a leopard, its feet were like a bear, and its mouth was like a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Now, I don't know if that sounds like anything to you, but it reminds me of what we read in chapter number 7. He said his body was a leopard, his feet were as a bear, his mouth was a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. We're just working backwards. The dragon, we know that that's that fourth wild beast, we know that. The body is the leopard, that's the Grecian kingdom, is it not? The feet like a bear, that's that Medo-Persian kingdom. And that mouth like a lion, we saw the lion, and that's like the Babylonian kingdom. And therefore, John says that this beast or this kingdom encompasses all the traits of the kingdoms before it when it comes forward in Revelation chapter number 13. He said it would be partly iron and partly clay. It would be mixed. It would be diverse. It would be different. It would be mingled. And John is telling us now that this future kingdom will be like the other kingdoms before it. Not only that, both beasts are said to have 10 horns. Daniel tells us and John tells us. These 10 horns are the same as 10 toes, and they represent 10 kingdoms that will support this beast, this worldwide kingdom, this Antichrist, 10 nations or 10 kingdoms that will give their support to this man that's ruling over them. In fact, Revelation 17:2 says something interesting. Revelation 17:2 says, With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Daniel tells us that at some point the little horn will uproot 3 of the original kings and replace them with 3 of his own. Even their length of time is the same. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, that he'll be there for a time and times and the dividing of times 3.5 years. Revelation 13:5 says he'll do this at 42 months. Again, it is 3.5 years. Therefore, we see that they're the same. What you do not read, however, is John speaking about a little horn. John never mentions a little horn. John just simply says, Revelation 13, I saw a beast come out of the sea. Now, the reason John doesn't speak of a little horn is because the beast of chapter 13 is the little horn. Daniel divides the kingdom from the Antichrist. John doesn't make that division. To John, the kingdom and its ruler are the same. You remember when Daniel spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and he interpreted his dream, he said, "Nebuchadnezzar, thou art the head of gold." You remember that? Now, that wasn't speaking of just Nebuchadnezzar, for the Babylonian Empire lasted longer than him. It was the kingdom, but in that vision, Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon were inseparable. And to John, the Antichrist and the Roman kingdom are inseparable. I want you to see this finally, and hopefully we can make some sense out of all this. So we see the beast, okay? The beast is a worldwide kingdom, partly iron, partly clay. It'll be that revived Roman kingdom, okay? Have characteristics and traits of the other kingdoms before. But there will be another kingdom that will rise forth and rule over the world. Just as Babylon and Greece, Medo-Persia and Rome ruled over the world in times past, in history, days gone by, there will be another kingdom that will rule this world. In fact, they will so rule the world that the predominant nations of the world, 10 kings, will pledge their loyalty to it. It'll be almost like a United Nations serving under this newly revived umbrella of the Roman Empire. Okay? So we see a beast come forward, and the beast is this kingdom, all right? So not only is Daniel troubled by the beast, but Daniel's troubled by the little horn. In the church, we talk a lot about the coming of Jesus Christ, coming of Christ. But did you know that just as there will be a coming of Christ, there will be a coming of Antichrist? In Matthew 24, Jesus says that there'll arise many Antichrists. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, John says, "And now are there many antichrists in the world?" You see, there are many that are antichrist or opposed to Christ. There have been and there will be. But there is coming a man that will embody fully the spirit of Antichrist. He's spoken of a great deal in the Scriptures. Isaiah calls him the Assyrian, the wicked, the king of Babylon, Lucifer. Ezekiel calls him the king of Tyrus. Daniel calls him the little horn, the king of fierce countenance, the prince that shall come, the willful king. Paul calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked. John calls him Antichrist, both in 1 John and in the book of the Revelation. Daniel is given 3 visions of the little horn. He's given 1 in chapter 7 and 2 in chapter 8. From these 3 visions, as well as a couple other passages, we can better understand the man of sin, Antichrist. We will talk a great deal about him in chapter 8. We'll talk about him again in chapter 9. But there are a few things that I want to say about him tonight, a couple things we learn from him in this passage. First of all, let me show you something from Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1, says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and notice this, and upon his 10 horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy." 10 horns, 10 crowns, okay? Revelation 17, verse 3. "So he and carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay? We're talking about the same beast, 7 heads on both of them, the names of blasphemy on both of them, 10 horns on both of them. But in Revelation 17, there's something missing from Revelation 13. It's the 10 crowns. In Revelation 13, 1, he's got 10 horns and they've been crowned. Therefore, the beast in Revelation 17 that has been crowned pictures the beast at the height of his power. The nations are following him. He is ruling over them. He is in charge in chapter 13. But in chapter 17, he's not been crowned. This means that at this time he has not taken his power. He has not reached the height of his authority. He is not the beast that we see in chapter number 13. In fact, in chapter 17, there's a woman riding around on him. To ride the beast indicates that she exercises some kind of power over him. Now, through studying the scriptures, you'll discover that the woman pictures the church, or the religion, the one world religion of the last days. In the last days, this one world religion will be universal. It'll be ecumenical. In fact, it'll be much like the religion that Nebuchadnezzar tried to establish in chapter number 3. When he put up his image and he caused the whole world to fall down and worship it. It seems that in the last days, there will be war and there will be unrest. In fact, I don't have time for this tonight, but according to Ezekiel chapter 38, chapter 39, according to the book of Psalms, there will be great battles and great wars. In fact, a battle will take place, Brother David, so great that Ezekiel said it'll take them, I think it's 3.5 years to bury all their dead. There will be war and there will be unrest upon the earth. Nations will fight against nations. We are seeing the beginning of those wars today, but it will intensify and get worse. From these wars will arise 10 nations or 10 kingdoms that will begin to form an alliance and rule over the world. These 10 kings or these 10 nations, these 10 kingdoms will have some of the characteristics of the old Roman Empire. In fact, according to Revelation chapter 17, Grandpa, one of the characteristics that they will have is the religion of the old Roman Empire. The Catholic religion. The Catholic religion will play a huge part in forming this alliance, this one world ecumenical movement, and it'll be under the umbrella of religion. Let's all hold hands and sing Kumbaya and get along with each other. Let's take who we are off our sign. We don't have to be Baptist and Methodist and Episcopalian. We can all just be brethren. You may call your God Jehovah and I call mine Allah, but we can be brothers and we can worship together. Does any of that sound familiar to you? We're headed in that direction. These will be pictured by the woman, John calls her a whore, that rides upon this beast, drives it and controls it. For the first 3.5 years of the 7 years of tribulation, Antichrist will grow through the ranks, rise through the ranks, but he will be controlled by the 10 kingdoms and influenced by the universal church. Something, however, happens 3.5 years. Daniel said a time and times and the dividing of times. John said 42 months. But something happens 3.5 years into the tribulation period. According to Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, he will uproot 3 of the nations or 3 of the kings, and he will replace them with 3 of his own kings or 3 of his own nations. When he replaces them, he begins to rule over them. In fact, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, he has had a peace covenant with the Jews established for a 7-year period of time. But 3.5 years in, when he uproots these kingdoms and begins to rule and hits the height of his power, he decides he doesn't need the covenant with the Jews anymore, and he breaks it. In fact, not only does he break it, but he goes before the world and before the Jews and says, this whole one world religion stuff, I'm done with it. Revelation 17, he devours the woman and he proclaims himself to be God. What is it that changes between the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years that would cause this change in this man, this Antichrist, and would cause the world to look at him and say, wow, he really is God, and worship him? I think we see it in chapter 13 and chapter 17 of the book of the Revelation. In chapter number 13, John tells us that this beast, the Bible says in chapter 13, verse number 3, it said, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him?" According to chapter 13, John says that at some point the beast receives a deadly wound. His deadly wound is healed, and with his deadly wound healed, the world wanders after him and says, how could we fight this guy? You can believe what you want to, but I firmly believe that 3.5 years into the tribulation period, the Antichrist will probably be assassinated. He will attempt to uproot these kingdoms, and somebody will take his life and he will die. I've got no doubt he'll stay dead for 3 days. And after 3 days, he'll come back to life. So how do you figure that? Well, two things. First of all, John said the beast received a deadly wound, but his deadly wound was healed. In Revelation chapter 17, John is talking about this beast, and begins to talk about kings and kingdoms. And he said there will be 7 kings, I believe it is. John, Revelation chapter number 17. Let me see if I can find it and I'll read it to you. Chapter 17. Verse number 10. "And these are 7 kings. 5 are fallen and 1 is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7th, and goeth into perdition." So John is now talking about these 7 heads or 7 mountains of the beast. And he says they represent 7 kings. He said the first 5 kings have fallen. They had already died in history past when John wrote Revelation 17. He said the 6th is alive now. He is. He was reigning as John wrote. He said, but the 7th king, he's still yet to come. He said, and the 7th king, he is even of the 8th. He was and is not and is again, and he's the 8th and goeth into perdition. What does that mean? He is the 7th king. He dies. He comes back to life. He is the 8th king as well. He was and is not, and he is the same that goes into perdition. Everything that God does, Satan has a copy for it. And our Lord came to this earth. He was assassinated, if you'll let me say it that way. He gave his life. 3.5 days later, he got up from the grave. And I believe that Satan's man, the Antichrist, will mimic God. He will die. He will rise again. And when he rises again, he breaks his covenant with the Jew and says, see, I told you that I was God. Who else can rise from the dead? He will put himself in the temple. According to Daniel chapter 9, he'll commit the abomination of desolation. He will set himself up in the kingdom, in the temple. Revelation 13, they will build an image to him. They will give a brand that is his, and all the world will fall down and worship him. You say, How could a world follow after a man and a man rule over the world? I'll tell you how. Revelation 13, they tried to kill him and they couldn't. He come back to life. And so they'll say, who is able to make war with the beast? How can you fight somebody that when you kill them, they come back to life? When he establishes himself as God, he will speak great things against the Most High. He will wear out the saints. He will change the times and the laws, just like Daniel saw in his vision. Daniel chapter number 7, verse number 26, 27, 28. We'll bring this to a close. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of his kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. At the end of 3.5 years, judgment will come upon the Antichrist. His kingdom will be removed and given to the saints. And according to Revelation chapter number 19, he'll be cast into the lake of fire. So we learn something of this Antichrist in chapter number 7. Again, we'll learn more about him in chapter number 8. But as we move forward, we must remember the beast is that revived kingdom, and the little horn or the Antichrist is their great leader. The reason we have to remember that is because we'll see the little horn. We'll meet him again. In fact, we'll meet him in the next chapter, chapter number 8. We'll be given two visions of him. Father, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we study, as we preach. Lord, may we learn from your Word week by week and time by time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.